This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Well, today's part two of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, because earlier we had a huge guest on the show earlier, and he was too big for one show, but even though we should have had him on. But, yeah, Bill Burns was on the show earlier. We were talking about wrestling. We were talking about his long career in WWE/WWF or WWF/WWE, NWA, TNA, everywhere else. He was talking about the famous CM Punk versus Teddy Hart fight that happened back in early 2000s. He talked about wrestling in general, and it was a great show. And later on tonight, well, Lance in Hawaii had technical issues, so he's not going to be able to be on tonight. And I haven't heard nothing from Jacob Fatu, but, I mean, that's fine. You know, they don't have to accept their invitations. Like my man Martez says, they don't have to accept their invitations. So, I mean, it's a hit and miss every time with these guys. But I appreciate them anyway for even giving me a response to say they would be on the show. And if they can't, you know, if they can't make it on the show, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I still have a great guest for tonight, which is Impact or TNA original Impact wrestler Hernandez Supermax. Tonight he'll be on the show. So we're going to wait for him to get on the show. So any of you callers want to give a call on the line to the Southwest Texan and talk wrestling or anything, area code 646-668-8672. And this is all brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, The Flash, 313. But Martez, what did you think about my guest earlier? What did you think about my interview?
It was a great interview, man. It was a super good interview. You know, it's definitely one I'm going to go back and listen to for sure. The guest you had on, he was very informative. He definitely has a place in this business. He's been, like you say, he's been in WWE, NWA, TNA, Impact Wrestling. He's been all over. And it was one of the better interviews I've ever had a chance to listen to. I'm not just saying that because you're on the platform, but I'm being real. It's one of the better interviews there. And I could see him being someone that can come on for you 100 times. That's how great of an interview and great chemistry you guys had.
Man, yeah, no, we actually had a talk earlier after the show, me and Bill, and he actually got a couple guests lined up, and I'm not going to say who. I'm just going to keep it a secret, and as I get these guests going on, you know, I'm going to name them as they go, but he's got a lot of great guests, former Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, people in NWA, everything, man. This guy was the real deal, and I can't wait to have him back on. But he's also bringing on one of his teams that he's actually, I guess, you know, mentoring or whatever he said earlier. The name was for Master and Machine. Master and Machine, there you go. That's their name, Master and Machine. They're going to be on the show pretty soon. He said they're pretty entertaining guys. They're best friends. They can finish each other's sentences. And, man, I just can't wait to have them on also.
Oh, man, that's spectacular, man.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and, man, I'm going to need you to have a couple questions ready, man, because I don't think I'm going to be able to have all those questions lined up.
Well, I got you, man. Even though I like to stay behind the scenes, man, whenever you need me to come off the bench, I got you, man. But you're the star player in this, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, but, you know, none of this would be possible without you guys and the platform that you guys provide for us. But let's talk a little bit of wrestling before Hernandez gets on the line. What did you think about this week's Raw, man? I kind of, like, tuned in and out this week. I couldn't really stomach it this week. You know, I'm getting a little tired of the no arena thing. I mean, I'm not mad at it, you know, but it's kind of getting a little irritating. And this week, Raw actually hit its all-time lows, not just for a non-holiday or anything like that, a non-televised show. Yeah. They hit 170-something million viewers, and that's the all-time low since, I want to say, they said like 90-something, like 95.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that too, man. What's so ironic is I'm right there with you because I normally watch Raw no matter what, but for some reason I told myself, I said, I'm not watching it tonight. I don't care. I went to sleep, you know, and I never do that for Raw or SmackDown, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't watch a week ago. And it's getting so tough to watch Raw and SmackDown in particular with the empty arena and in the segment, you know, it just doesn't look good at this point. And I know like six weeks ago, I was just praising WWE for continuing with the matches and continuing with the shows. But it's just right now, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the empty arena. You know, I thought they would have tried to do something with a Zoom type of thing, you know. I'm surprised they haven't tried that.
I mean, even if that, like Bill was saying earlier about that kind of stuff, like I said, I wouldn't really want to do that either because if you look at it, that virtual reality stuff, that kind of stuff is the same thing as watching it in an empty arena. You're just going to pay for something where you feel like you're there. You might as well just get some virtual reality glasses and a little virtual reality set, set it on Monday Night Raw, and sit right there.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. That makes sense. I get it, but I just thought they would at least try something like that. But I feel you. But you know what? AEW is doing a good job, in my opinion, with the way they do it.
They are doing a great job, and they're actually capitalizing on it, which I believe that's a big part of Cody's doing and a lot of the legends that he has back there producing the show because, you know, they have – A lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in that field because they've been in that situation before with WWE back, not just when they got released and when they left WWE, but also back when WWE was actually in the biggest, the biggest prime of their life when they were first buying out WCW and back all the way into, like, I want to say at least 2011 when wrestling was good.
They're making all the right moves right now. I just don't understand why WWE or whoever, why they couldn't like get like 100 people and put them in some kind of quarantine for like a month, and then test them, you know, and then let them be regular people that go into the performance center to watch the shows. I wonder why they couldn't do something like that.
Right, that's something that could be a possibility, but also at the same time, man, you know, if he's going to do that, if Vince is going to do that, I mean, he's going to actually probably have to come out of pocket because if you look at it, if they're not people from Florida, even if they are, you know, to stay quarantined for Vince or just the WWE in general is like, you know, we got to pay our bills, you know, I know we're on unemployment, but you're trying to get us to work for you and going quarantined for you and then going on to your show every taping and whatnot and so forth, pay me. You know, it's nice to be in a free WWE event, but I mean, it's like, why? Pay me.
Like, it's going to have to be some kind of incentive involved. I feel you.
Yeah. Or at least let them hang out with the wrestlers before the shows or something's got to give if they're going to do it like that. But like, I heard that they're going to start letting people, since some of these states are opening up now, I heard that they're going to start letting people in the events, but I think that's a bad idea, even if you're going to move six feet away from people, you know what I'm saying? Move one seat or two seats down from a person. It still doesn't make any sense because you're not going to make the, like, you know, Vince McMahon has got to pay to get these buildings.
And if you're gonna do that, you're gonna lose out on a lot of money because you're gonna have to come out of pocket and then try to come up with the money to pay the guys because you're not gonna make the full pocket from selling out an arena versus trying to space people out.
True, true. So they definitely gotta think smart now because they like everything is different now. You know, you're not gonna make the same amount of money that you were making before. So and really, fans packing these stadiums and arenas every week was a big deal for WWE. And I don't think people really realized that how much money they was making. And it's almost been like 3 months now. I mean, believe it or not, maybe they took a huge hit, you know, by not having these shows on a regular basis. I don't know. I would think so
on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but yeah, I agree. Like they may be taking a huge risk by bringing people in this soon, especially if you're not paying anybody, if you don't have anything incentive wise to keep people in quarantine, you know. So yeah. They definitely would be taking a risk, but I think Vince is crazy enough to try anything. So I don't know what's up, man.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I was reading earlier that Bully Ray was even talking about the low ratings that Vince pulled this week. You know, he's like, it's crazy to actually see Vince going this low. But I mean, I can't blame him for saying that because I mean. Bully or Bubba Ray, whoever wants to, however they want to call him, been a part of that, been a part of the WWE machine. But, I mean, I think that Vince needs to figure out something and something quick because if he doesn't, man, he's really going to have to end up selling like we were talking about this last week. You know, Vince is going to end – I think he's going to sell because, like you said, he's lost a lot of money by not – I don't think Vince actually realized from, selling out arenas since the 2000s, well, even before that, but big time in the 2000s, making all that money when this happened, I believe Vince lost his way in remembering where, actually where he came from. He didn't come from the top. He came, he bought the WWE from his dad, back in the day when WWE wasn't nothing at all, really. And turn it into a global phenomenon and forgot about the little people and really wrestling wasn't really about selling out arenas back in the day. You became greedy and now you're losing all your money and now it's a big thing for him.
Yeah, it is. And it goes to show, and I'm not trying to shift, but this is happening with a lot of business owners right now. They being humble, like they basically down to their knees, because a lot of these business owners, they never thought they would be worrying about how to obtain money, but they definitely are worrying about it because of what happened. And I'm not saying Vince is in that position right now, but I could see him being in that position because, look, I couldn't believe he basically ended the XFL that early, that soon, Just because, I still don't understand that. So maybe they really didn't have much money into the XFL, and so that's an eye opener for me, because I don't understand why they canceled that out. And then he released all those wrestlers. So,
And after him releasing all those wrestlers was like, they had 500 million reserved. They didn't have to release them wrestlers because the wrestlers they really released wasn't really top paid talent. They weren't top paid talent at all. I don't understand why, especially Zack Ryder after he's given you almost 14 years of his life. What'd you say?
Right. I'm gonna step away really quickly. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay?
All right, no problem. But yeah, guys, like I was saying, Ryder was actually, he actually got interviewed, opened up about his WWE things. He wasn't really, he called Vince to get released. He actually called Vince McMahon and he knew he was getting released. Chelsea wasn't his girlfriend, Chelsea Green, that wrestled for NXT, didn't really, how do you say, she wasn't really stressed out about, you know, well, she wasn't stressed for herself. She was more stressed for Zach, but Zach wasn't really stressed about it. She actually, he was like, oh man, are you worried about getting released? She didn't know she was getting released or not. You never really know. Even if you get a fresh contract, you never know with WWE. That's how WWE rolls. But anybody want to give a call in to the Southwest Texan and the Rated R Wrestling Podcast? Area code 646-668-8672. One more time. Area code 646-668-8672. Give the Southwest Texan a call. Let's talk wrestling and let's talk wrestling until my next guest gets on the line. Hernandez is going to be a part of the show tonight. Can't wait to have him on. Got a lot of questions for Super Max. We're going to try to see if he can shed a little more light on the Impact TNA mashup that they got going on over there at Impact Wrestling. So anybody on the line that want to get on the line with the Texans, give me a call, 646-668-8672. So we'll also talk about, you know, how – Kurt Hawkins actually thinks that AEW is throwing on better empty arena matches than WWE. He's saying that AEW is giving more excitement, that they're giving more of a feel to the wrestling than WWE is. So I mean, I watch AEW as much as I'd watch NXT, and I like the way AEW is doing it, but they're still fresh. But I mean, they're giving a different vibe. They're having their wrestlers sit on the sidelines and go watch their co-workers wrestle and whatnot, but I like NXT also on the empty arena matches more than the main roster, because they don't have, you know, how do you say, they have more of an oomph than WWE. They give more their talent, their sweat, their blood, their want to entertain us as fans and me as a podcaster. But you know, all this stuff that they're doing, and I don't know. What do you guys think? Area code 646-668-8672. Give the Southwest Texan a call. My brother Greg should be joining me up really soon. He's going to talk to me a little bit about wrestling, and he's a big wrestling fan. He's a buddy of mine. I've known him for a long time. Well, about over a year. Great guy. Complain about him, man.
Yeah.
This is my...
Yeah, we do have Greg on the line for you.
All right, we got Greg on the line. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, my friend?
Oh, man, I can't complain.
It's a beautiful Thursday evening in the DA.
Oh, man, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Sun is out. It was a nice day. I got to get some things done. But I was talking to the fans about you a little bit, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was telling them how you're a great friend of mine, how we've known each other over a year, and how you're one of the biggest wrestling fans I've ever known.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just a guy that loves my wrestling, man. Actually, man, it's been over 2 years. Do you remember where we met?
Yeah, Rocky. Actually, yeah. Jesus, time flies.
Rocky, absolutely.
Rocky in 2018. Jesus Christ, I keep forgetting. Long time, man. Yeah, great.
Man, we've only gotten tighter since then.
Yeah, man, you've been a great guy ever since I've known you, man. Great guy. But so what do you think about AEW? Well, for me, I'm gonna get down to it. I'm getting tired of the empty arena matches.
Yeah,
I'm getting tired. What do you think?
We talked about this a little bit. It's the lack of the emotion. The crowd reaction gives you the emotional investment in the match. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's good. At least we're getting some wrestling. You know, I mean, there's no other sports going on out there. At least AEW, you know, they're known to put a couple of, you know, talent in the crowd and give you a little bit of reaction. I think that's what's kind of setting them maybe a tad ahead of everybody else on the live, the empty arena shows.
Right, yeah, definitely. Definitely on that one, man.
And then there's, NWA is doing the storytelling in wrestling. AEW is doing the storytelling in wrestling. WWE is doing the television production thing. It's more about the segments and getting your shit in, you know what I mean? getting.
Yeah,
I don't. It's not the same. It's like, okay, you don't have the fan reaction. You don't have people reacting to the promos, reacting to the entrances. They, I believe it was Regal that said to the guys on at NXT, said they have, when you come out of that curtain before you hit that ramp, they've already made a decision about you. You know what I mean? And that is what they're more focused on in NWA, AEW, more the old school storytelling style wrestling. It, you know, it's easier to get invested in even without fans.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing, like I was thinking, is AEW is doing a great job, but also is NXT is NXT is doing a great job. NXT is actually, I believe, like I said earlier, I believe is that they're doing a better job than a lot of like the main roster, you know, their WWE counterparts. NXT. Like
I can't watch
night,
the main roster, man.
I can't either. I mean, I do. I have to, you know what I'm saying, to keep up with things. But
I NXT, just keep up with the news and the results because I can't watch it, man.
Yeah, it is hard to swallow sometimes. It's hard to swallow sometimes. But my thing is, like last night, Killer Cross, well, whatever they named him in WWE, I forget what they, Karrion Cross, whatever it is. Last night, his entrance was one of the best entrances I've seen in a long time, even in the empty arena. Like, him and Scarlett Bardu did a great job last night.
And that's NXT. It's a different feel. It's a different style of production. It's more of an old-school storytelling style wrestling, dare I say, much like NWA. Because, I mean, I keep mentioning them because the NWA of 2020, I believe, or, you know, it feels like the whole point of it was to be an old-school style feel of NWA storytelling wrestling. And that's what I see and feel, and I feel like that's what a lot of people are saying. I don't know of any wrestling fans that have had anything real bad to say about NWA or that dislike it for any reason. I mean, you got the AEW and WWE fans that have decided for whatever reason that they need to take a side and defend it, you know, like your mother's honor. I don't get that exactly. But, you know, NWA is, you know, from the beginning is, and they're another one that the studio production style that they're given isn't very much different of a show with no fans. It's a very much more watchable show to me than trying to put on the WWE main roster spectacle with the lights and the Titantron and mm-hmm. the cricket. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that one because I was just talking to Bill earlier about that, and I told him the same difference. You know, I told him that NWA, I'm actually excited when I watch NWA more than I do a Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown, and I told him, you know, that I'm actually happy for what they're doing over there, giving us the old school feeling of the arena crowd and today's culture of wrestling and pops of wrestling and today's wrestlers with the old school championships. They never changed their championships. That's one thing I can say about you know, and NWA has never changed their championships. WWE's changed their championships more times than I fucking changed my underwear. And that's just fucking stupid.
And they're changing their champions just as fast. And
yeah,
NWA is not changing the champions like that. Being a champion is meaning something. And NXT, too, they're doing a good job of making titles mean something. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you can remember a story being told long-term the way that NWA told the story with Camille? The last time I can remember is Taz and Sabu, ECW, leading into Barely Legal, 1 year build. We were dying to see these guys fight. And we were dying to hear Camille's side. Is she oppressed? Is she, you know? And, man, what good storytelling. Kudos to the NWA.
Most definitely. In the NWA, man, one thing I can say is that
The Camille storyline has been great. I love, and when she finally talked, I was shocked. That's one thing, like you said, they can tell a story. And then another
thing is,
no, me neither. I didn't either. But when she did, I was like, my jaws dropped quicker than the fucking mask when he was in the movie looking at that chick on stage. Like, what
yeah.
the fuck?
And it was nothing to do with Nick Aldis. It was like, look, I'm a super athlete, okay? I don't have nothing to say. And it, yeah, that's I am excited to see where that goes. And Camille's going to be a mega star.
Yeah, definitely. She is. And I can't wait to see that happen and all of it unfold. And talking about Nick Aldis, man, is that guy ever going to lose that world championship? I wouldn't think so. He is, man, a great champion. That's what you – to me, right now, Nick Aldis is the best world champion in all of mainstream wrestling.
I couldn't argue with that. I couldn't argue with that at all. The way he carries the title, the way he carries himself, the way, I mean, and he's not, I love a good heel, man. It's no secret. And this is what I love about a good heel. They talk that shit and they're telling the truth, you know, and Nick Aldis isn't like, I couldn't stand the honky tonk man as a heel or a champion. That just annoyed me. Nick Aldis will go out there and back it up. He does, you know, yeah, he might pull something underhanded here and there. But Nick Aldis is a champion's champion. Backs it up
definitely.
Every time.
That's most definitely. But I don't mean to cut you short, Greg, but I have our guest of the night on the line tonight. He is he's Impact Wrestler, TNA Original, the founding father, the godfather of the original LAX. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome Supermax Hernandez.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing over there?
Oh, man, I can't complain. What's going on with you? How you doing during all this pandemic stuff, man?
I'm just chilling, man, staying at the house, drinking some Lone Star, hanging out.
Definitely. So, yeah, man, you're in Texas right now, man, where the Texas is hot, and how's everything down there, over there in Texas with all of it, too? Is you guys still under quarantine and stuff?
No, they lifted that up, I think, last Friday. And
okay.
So, you know, let business be open about 25% capacity, but everything else is pretty much slow. But, I mean, you know how these Mexicans do. They don't care. Let's make some money, you know.
Most definitely. But, yeah, you began and debuted in the wrestling scene in 96, man. How'd you get into wrestling, or who got you into wrestling?
Brother, I didn't want a real job. That's the main reason why I got into wrestling.
I can agree with that one.
Yeah, I did. I played college football. I played 2 years in arena football for the Texas arena team, Houston Thunder Bears.
Okay.
I wasn't cutting the bills. And I was working out at Gold's Gym, and the WWF at the time came in there, and they said, "Hey, man, you look like a wrestler. You should try this school." I went to Tugboat Taylor's wrestling school in Houston. That's how I got started.
Okay, nice. And who was the one to train you? Who trained you?
Tugboat Taylor himself and his son, Chaz. Their big heyday was the Global Championship Wrestling on ESPN in the early 90s.
Okay, nice. Talking about that, man, I'm from Texas myself, man, and, well, I'm in Detroit now, but, yeah, man, I can't wait to hit Texas one day. I'm hoping to do it pretty soon. So you're originally from San Antonio, right?
No, Houston. Now I live in San Antonio now.
Okay, nice.
I moved here 3 years ago.
Oh, you moved there 2 years ago. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Man, I just seen your match last week when you faced off with Moose and Mike Elgin, man. I was rooting for you on that match to win that. I'm ready for you to win that TNA title, man. What's the thing that they're doing right now with the Impact bringing back to the TNA world title?
Well, Moose is the big heel, so I'm told, coming back to Impact, and he's tired of getting his pushed aside for his chances to get a world title shot. So he brought the TNA belt back from the dead and, you know, trying to call out TNA originals. And, you know, it's real easy to talk smack when you win your title in a three-way. You know, I'm going against my
right.
agent himself. You know, anybody can do that. You know, I mean, how many times have I won three-way? Or you or anybody's won three-way. So, I mean, that's kind of like a little slim bragging rights right there. But, I mean, come on. But, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
most definitely.
You know, keep watching. You know, I guarantee you, you know, especially for Americanos, you're going to like
most definitely, man. My eyes have been glued since they started this off, and I've seen you the week before that faced Rahit Raju. I actually had him on last week, man. That was a good match, too. That was actually a good match.
Yeah, he's criminally underrated, brother. He's criminally underrated. I mean, given the ball, he can do some things. I mean, he can talk a little bit, and he can wrestle. He's got a nice little physique, got a nice gimmick. He just needs an opportunity, that's all.
Most definitely. And earlier, I had your agent on my show earlier, Bill Burns.
That's the man right there. Yo.
Yeah, he told me to relay the message and say, what's up to you, man? He's like, tell Supermax. I said, what's going on? I said, I sure will relay the message.
Yeah, he's helped my career so much, man, because – I remember when I first started, I was doing indies, and, you know, I was the king of the indies in Texas, but making like $100 a show, you know, that's not beating nobody, you know. So I was going to Japan about two to three times a year, but I was still stuck in the indies. I couldn't, you know, I was getting a couple of dark matches for WWE, and I talked to Bill. This was 2002 or 3, and he said, man, come Russell over here on Wildside. He used to be a developmental for WCW out there outside of Atlanta, Cornelia, Georgia. And come wrestle with me. We'll help you, you know, learn the final arts of TV wrestling, and you'll get your shot, you know. Brother.
Most definitely, yeah.
It sucked. We drive in there. We drove there, but, I mean, we broke 12 hours to get there.
Wow.
And then we wrestle,
yeah, talking
and
then, about.
No, hold on, real quick. Then the biggest payday you get is at $30.
Wow, Jesus Christ, that's enough. That's enough for some medication up here in Michigan, you know. But talking about the 2000s and 2002 when you met Bill Burns after scraping from all those years in the. In the 90s and scraping all them years and paying your dues, you know, you made your debut in 2003 for Impact when your first debut match in a losing effort against Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
And then,
that's what I got, man. You know, Bill taught me how to TV wrestle, and guess what? Boom, I blink. I'm doing indies in Texas, indies in Mexico, and TNA calls me right off the bat. I mean, it's like magic. The guy knows what he's talking about. You young cats out there, listen, if someone has been successful, and he's obviously one of the agents for AJ Styles, one of the biggest guys in WWE, it would be smart to take a listen.
Yeah, most definitely. And fast forward a few years all the way to 2006, man, you ended up being the founding father of the original LAX, man, and then they tried to pull like they did with the NWO and try to revamp it. Did you know that they were going to try to revamp it at before or after you came and teamed up with Homicide and Conan to form the OGs?
Basically, I was wrestling in Mexico, just chilling, and Homicide called me up. I mean, we still talk to this day two, three times a week. And, hey, man, you know, Impact wants to this angle, you know, OGs versus the new LAX. I go, brother, let's do this. And I like the, you know, the backstage politics was kind of wacky. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I was very proud of the matches. The matches and the content was very good. And those kids are going to be stars.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely on that. That I was watching that whole thing. That was that matches, especially the one you guys did in Toronto, that outside match. That was a fucking crazy ass match, man. That was one of my favorite matches of all time.
But they should show you some of those outtakes. You know, like that one part where I'm choking on TVs with a chain. They had to cut it because I accidentally, his hand slipped and he got choked out for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, man, that was one of my favorite rivalries in TNA Impact Wrestling history, man. I can go and watch that right now. Actually, man, I'm about to go twist one up after this and go watch that. That's what I'm going to watch tonight. But, yeah, man, talking about, you know, the LAX, you know, they ended up leaving Impact Wrestling for AEW. Are you signed to a long-term contract or, you know, when or do we see Supermax in AEW?
Don't hold your breath. I mean, I'm going to be in Impact for a little bit. You know, Homicide is over there in NWA doing some good things. You know, he's there for a little bit. We'll develop our own singles brand. If you guys blink, we'll be back together before you guys know it, though. Watch.
Oh, yeah, I'm waiting for that, man. You guys are also one of my favorite tag teams. You know, we got to represent the Raza. You know what I mean?
Most deaf.
Also, man, you know, we've seen you in Michigan before. You wrestled for International Big Time Wrestling, man. What did you think about the Michigan's wrestling scene, and will we see you back in Michigan?
I was over there with Rudy Hill and Malcolm Monroe. Those guys were some cool guys.
Yeah, the Monroes. I know Malcolm. I know all them. Yeah.
You know, y'all got some rowdy wrestlers up there, man. I like it. So, before this pandemic thing went down, I was supposed to come back in June for Malcolm. And you never know. I mean, it's out of the blue. Rudy calls me up, and, you know how it goes, man. You just start, somebody's tight. Hey, you need me in a pinch? Let's go.
Most definitely, man. I can't wait to see you come back because I was actually going to go to that event. I'm pretty sure, I think it was in Brownstown. But, yeah, I was going to go to that event, and I was going to actually talk to the promoter from Big Time Wrestling about interviewing you that week that you were supposed to come back to Michigan.
Well, bro, you got my number now, man. Anytime you need me, just give me a call, dude.
That, man. Also, man, I can't wait to see you actually go forward with Impact and until you get to go somewhere else, man, because you're such a great talent, man. I've been following you for years. Do you have a dream match that you would want to do after all this pandemic is over?
Brother, I've got an opportunity to wrestle Sting, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles. The list goes on. I mean, I don't have a dream match anymore, but, you know, I really, really want LAX to have one last ride. And we just run roast out on people for about a year or two and then call it a day.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So you can hang up the poncho and the boots, huh?
And, oh, yes, most definitely.
Definitely. Also, man, I asked Rahit this, but what is it like to actually wrestle in an empty arena match versus wrestling in front of the whole crowd? I'm pretty sure you wrestled in almost empty arenas, you know, coming from the independents, but, like, what is it like to actually wrestle in front of nobody and try to, like, pull the gimmick in front of the camera and, like, you know, like you're talking to the people at home?
It's beyond ridiculous hard, you know. I mean, you know, with the crowd right there, you know what's working, what's not working, what they're into, what they like. You know, we filmed this stuff, what, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, so we have to wait 2 or 3 weeks just to get fan feedback. So, I mean, You can imagine how we're going stir crazy. Hey, man, you know, was our execution good? You know, was the story told right? And stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, of course, with me wrestling, you know, AAA in Puerto Rico, where those crowds are 5,000, 15,000 people, bro,
right.
you know how it is, man. You know, you're wrestling in front of that many people like that, and they're booing you. It's like electric.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Also, man, I wanted to ask you, I forgot about this in the beginning, man. Earlier I was watching a video talking about when you were supposed to join MVP in that contract thing that you said, you know, when you were under contract with Lucha Underground, and you said that you were a free agent, and that's the reason why MVP got fired.
No, bro. No. Whatever happened with me and Impact, and I'm sorry, TNA and Lucha Underground, it has nothing to do with someone else. You know what I'm saying? You know, each person gets fired for their own reason. You know,
yeah.
that legal battle cost me $17,000. So, yeah, well, when somebody's giving you, when someone's telling you something, and then when you go do it, they think it's like a money lovers thing, and it happens. And all of a sudden, they want to sue the network, they want to sue me, they want to sue the promotion. Well, I was left out from the cliff by myself, too. So, I mean, someone would say that I caused them getting fired. Bro, just everyone's an independent wrestler. Everyone has their own contract. It's not like me and XYZ have a contract where if he does something wrong, I get fired. No, it don't happen that way. Dude.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what I thought, you know, but, you know, I seen that earlier. But would you mind taking a question or two from a fan real quick or a caller in?
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Hey, Greg, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything you want to ask the Supermax?
Yeah, actually, first of all, I never knew you played football. I got to know. What position does a Supermax play? And I got my money on a beast linebacker.
Well, this beast linebacker couldn't cover a soul, so I played defensive line, sir.
That works, too.
Bro, I could rush the passer, bro. I'm telling you, man, but then you go from having your hand on the ground, and you start going against 300-pound dudes, they want to put you to the linebacker. No. You're not catching no slot back, you know. So I gained 50 more pounds to play D line, sir.
Nice. I met you at XICW. That's Malcolm's promotion, man. Really, really enjoyed. Man, I was taken back by how nice a guy you were, and yeah, you're a hell of a guy, man. I'm glad to have met you. In this area, in the, you know, Midwest Detroit area, who would you most like to face? Who do you think you could put on that banger that we could, be talking about for the rest of the year?
Well, you guys have some rowdy guys there, but you know, like you said, I want to catch Malcolm in one of them cage matches that he'd be doing, you know.
Now, Malcolm, DBA is undefeated.
I know, but I want to see what that flaming elbow is all about.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Hey, fans bring the weapons. DBA is undefeated in fans bring the weapons. Does
okay,
that sound fun?
Yeah, okay. Well, you tell DBA to find a partner. Me and Homicide come in there.
Ooh,
man, hey.
We got to make that happen, DBA. You guys heard it on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, I'm posted. I was just with DBA on Sunday.
You know what?
Well,
we got to make that happen. LAX versus the Monroes. We got to see that happen.
My absolute favorite wrestler is MM3, Malcolm Monroe III. He is, man. And I tell you, another match that I look forward to seeing is the Suplex Shogun, Jackson Stone, the gut check, TNA gut check or Impact gut check winner, be coming in. That would be a great match with Super Max.
Oh, yeah, that would.
I saw him in Atlanta. The kid can go, man. The kid can go. I like it.
Nice, nice.
He holds
Proving
Ground Championship, too. Hopefully, if they can get that Linkin Park show back on and you make it out here for that. Maybe you could challenge for the Proving Ground Championship in a Suplex Showdown challenge.
Bro, you just trying to kill me. You know I'm an old man. I can't be going against the Monroes, you know, in a fans bring weapons match, and then go against the Showdown Suplex Machine. Did I get a day off too?
Right. No, man. I'm trying to bring you in all summer, brother. I just want to see more of you, man. I'm thinking long term here, man.
They'll make that crap back to back, man. Make like month to month or something like that.
Yeah. See, Proving Ground is a whole nother show. And the Suplex Challenge is Shogun, he's the champion. He's the longest reigning Proving Ground champion. He must suplex his opponent 5 times before he can pin them. However, he can be pinned at any time or suplexed 5 times and defeated, and he can lose the title by count out or disqualification. So it favors the challenger. That would definitely favor Supermax. And I'm a big Shogun fan, but I would have to pick Shogun, or I would have to pick Supermax over Shogun with the Shogun Suplex Challenge rules for sure. Because if you could toss Shogun 5 times or avoid being tossed 5 times, get a pin, like I said, get a count out. I know, man, you're the type of guy. I love a heel, and I know you're the type of guy that you're not above winning a championship. If you have to run this guy into a pole and leave him standing there for 10 seconds, you know, to leave with the belt, I don't think you're above that.
Well, okay, but real quick, which one are we going to do first? Are we going to do the suplex challenge, or are we going to do the fans bring weapon match?
Oh, no, we want to see the fans bring the weapons for sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a main event at Lincoln Park Arena, straight up. LAX and the Monroes, fans bring the weapons. Take my fucking money. Are you kidding me?
Malcolm, you heard it, bro. Since this pandemic's
over. Oh, he's going to hear it. He's going to hear it immediately. I'm tagging him. I'm letting him know. And, you know, him and the boy don't see eye to eye. They don't see eye to eye at all. They're actually, however, they are, you know, Rudy's promotion, International Big Time Wrestling. They were the International Big Time Wrestling tag team champions. And with it, no secret that they don't see eye to eye. But, however, they were both born to be winners, man. That's the son and grandson of the sweet daddy, Malcolm Monroe, who's a legend around here at a lot of classics with the Sheik. He was the United States champion. He's, a hero to us who love the indie scene. I just love wrestling, man, and respect what you guys do so much and appreciate it, man.
Well, much appreciated, but, you know, we still got to have that, you know, family blood versus, you know, LAX blood. So let's see what happens, man.
All right. So, yeah, guys, getting back to the business. Supermax, I'm pretty sure you got some merch. I know you're on social media. Do you want to let the listeners know where they can find you on social media and find your merch? And I'm pretty sure the promoters want to hear where they can book you at.
Yeah. On Twitter, it's Supermax, CTM. Everyone knows. Chino Tamabe. Facebook is just my name, I don't know. And then, you know, if you go to online, you can go Pro Wrestling Tees Hernandez. I got some shirts there. I'm going to have some new merch up next month. If you want to get a hold of me, man, for bookings or appearances, man, just hit me up on any social media platform and let's talk business, man.
All right. Well, Supermax, I guess we're out of time, and I appreciate you, brother, for coming on the show, man. I appreciate you taking this invitation, and hopefully we'll have you on soon again, and hopefully we can make that LAX versus the Monroes match.
There we go, man. Thanks for having me, man. Make sure you hit me up when you come back to the SA, man.
Oh, man, I got you. Barbecue and brews on me, brother.
There we go. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. All right, everybody, you heard it yourself. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 had Supermax on the line. Super great guy. Can't wait to go home to San Antonio and visit the Supermax and get some barbecues and brews. So, Greg, what'd you think about the Supermax? Martez, what'd you think about the Supermax?
Man, he's such an awesome guy. I met him at, I believe it was either the Lincoln Park show or the Pontiac show. I think it was Lincoln Park. Those guys were so nice, so, I mean, beyond approachable. I mean, you know, you can tell when some guys are happy to meet you as a fan. He's that guy, man. They actually, LAX was in. But, man, the Monroes and LAX and fans bring the weapons?
He
wants a taste of flaming elbow. He said it himself.
He said he wants it. So listen to this, Greg. After this, after the show, me and you are going to go on a three-way call with DBA, and we're going to make this happen.
Okay.
We'll do that right after the show, buddy. So,
absolutely.
Martez, what do you think about Supermax?
I kind of agree with Greg, man. He's an amazing guy, man. He was an amazing interview, man. He seemed pretty down to earth. Because really, you never know how these guys are gonna be when they come on your show or when you meet them in person. And you know, he was definitely authentic and personable. And I love the interview, man. That's all I got to say. I love the interview.
I appreciate it, brother. And then when we get him in town, we're going to – me, you, and Greg are going to have to hit that event and go have some lunch and dinner with Mr. Hernandez.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt.
No Martez, doubt. Who are you most excited to see Supermax wrestle around here?
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I'm not really into the indie wrestling like you guys are. I'm trying to get more equipped with it, so I really couldn't give you anybody right now. I know a few guys, but I'm not really into the indie scene, so I'm trying to get better with that. So you got to forgive me.
No problem. They are Shogun will be coming into Impact anytime.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, man. I'm gonna mark the fuck out when I see Shogun on that Impact stage.
Oh, you're gonna love him, Martez. When he debuts, he's just, man. Yeah,
wow.
He's such a presence, man. His charisma, he has a natural charisma, great character. He's real happy to see him there, and he's yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do
so,
that
yeah,
for sure.
Man. It's going to be and then when the indies and all wrestling come back, Martez, we're going to take, me and Greg are going to kidnap you and take you to a few indie events.
Oh, yeah. Man, Martez, you'll love it, man.
Yeah.
You'll love it. You feel so part of the show. There's nothing like sitting 6 feet from the ring, especially like at Horror Slam, when it gets wild.
Definitely.
I'm ready, man.
I've never bought a ticket and regretted it. I've never attended a show in the Midwest that I regret, man. There's so many good promotions. And no matter where you live, there's something around. Hopefully, man. Hopefully soon,
yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully.
It's been too long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, man. So, guys, after this, after the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, we got the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. That's a show you don't want to miss, and I don't want to spill the beans, but I think Martez has a little announcement that he wants to make on that great show. And it's a big announcement, guys, so you want to tune into the Gorilla Position at 8 o'clock right after the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Big announcement he's got to make, and I'm pretty excited about this one. I know what it is, but I'm not going to spill the beans.
We definitely got a big announcement coming up on that show. I appreciate you hyping it up, man. but yeah.
Well, most definitely, man. We got to keep each other going.
Yeah, and we are doing big things, you know. We are doing big things on this platform, so you should be celebrated just like everybody else should. Like, you're definitely firing on all cylinders. Honest to God.
Oh, man, I'm trying. Like, this is what God put us all here for. He put us all here for a reason, man, and we're all together for a reason. So this is all thanks to the man upstairs, and I'm thankful for everybody here on this line, and thankful for all the listeners out there, and thankful for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
thank you guys, too, man.
Yeah, and I can see why you're good friends with Greg. Greg is pretty cool, too.
Oh, man, Greg is the greatest.
Thank you, man.
He's been a great friend since I met him, and then God rest my mother's soul, when my mother passed away, Greg was there real heavy with me and helped me through a lot of stuff as when that moment happened.
Oh, wow.
You know, you only get one mom, and I've been there. You know how a guy feels, and I might have been the only person that said, dude, it's okay that you're not okay. I know you're not okay, but I love you. You know?
Definitely.
But, guys, I guess I'm going to take these last 5 minutes or something and cut the show short because two of my guests actually canceled out on me. Lance and Wyatt had technical difficulties, and Jacob Fatu actually didn't get to me. Maybe timelines got messed up, but Lance actually got back to me, guys, and he said that we're going to reschedule. I'm not going to say when, but it's going to happen for sure. It could happen in the near future, but next week on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast is another great show. I can't wait to have these guys on the show. Next week on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, we are going to have a deathmatch wrestler and legend, Neil Cutter, and then we're going to have female deathmatch wrestler, Valentina Loca. Them are two crazy wrestlers. If you don't know who they are, look them up on YouTube. Again, Neil Cutter and Valentina Loca. Look them guys up. That's going to be on next week's show, Rated R Wrestling Podcast at regular time. I can't stretch it enough. 6:30 all the way to 8 o'clock, and then after that is the Gorilla Position on Open Talk Radio, The Flash. And, guys, thank you, Greg, for being on again. And, Marchez, it's always a pleasure. You guys, this is the Southwest Wrestling Podcast 313. Up next, well, actually at 8 o'clock, you have the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and Macho Ghost. Everybody, God bless. I love you guys. Tune in next week.
Thank you, gentlemen.